You got your Bibles with you, and I hope you do. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be looking at three short verses today. God willing, He'll give me the ability to expound on these, and so we'll be edified all in God's Word today. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. I do want to say before I begin, I do really appreciate the invitation here today. It was an honor to be called to pass time with you. My wife and family and I enjoy every chance we get to come here. You're almost like a second family in a way. Every time we feel so welcome. Thank you again. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Paul writing here from prison. Tell Timothy this, for I am now ready to be offered, and the name of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. If there is some short title we could give this message, it might be Finish Strong. Finish Strong. I love the saying that, I don't know who quoted it, but it's not how you start, but how you finish. A lot of truth to that, isn't it? It's not how you start, but how you finish. We can hear Paul in his words expressing that. There was a journalist one time, newspaper journalist in charge of the obituary page. And one day, he found himself without any deaths to report. And so he took out a sheet of paper, placed it in his typewriter, and typed his name above it. And he wrote this: I have been a good husband and father. I have contributed to many worthy causes. I have left a reputation of absolute integrity. I have many friends. The journalist had written his own obituary. And in a sense, this is what Paul is doing here. Verses 6 through 8, writing his own obituary to Timothy. And if I could sum up what Paul says in this passage in a simple sentence, it would be this: I finished well for God. I finished well for God. The goal that we all should be striving for. Finishing well for God. However, the sad truth is many professing Christians do not finish well. They study of Bible characters in the Old and New Testament. We can find many of those have not finished well. Just look at the turnover rate in many churches across the U.S. Look over the turnover rate and we find many are not finishing well there either. So why is this so? Why aren't so many people finishing well? Maybe it's this. Becoming a Christian might be easy, but living the Christian life is not. Living the Christian life is not an easy road, but it's one worth living with Christ. So how can we finish well? How can we finish well? If it is so difficult, how can we finish well? Well, Paul gives us several points here, several tips, several keys to finishing well, to finishing strong. In verse 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought." Oh, sorry. That's verse 7. "For I am ready to be poured out." Or ready to be offered. That's another way to say that is to be poured out. To be given. To give Him all Himself. And we are to lay our life upon the altar. As Paul has here. We're reminded in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul writing here to the Roman Christians. Chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. This isn't like those Israelite times where they're sacrificing bulls and goats. This is a living sacrifice to do what? Well, that's holy, acceptable. Status with God, to be holy and acceptable with Him, which is our reasonable service. We're also to adopt God's agenda and not our own. Adopting God's agenda is a little hard, I would think, wouldn't you say? Sometimes we live in the me-me world. Me, 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 me. My way or the highway. Two ways of doing it. My way or the wrong way. There's many ways you can say that. But we ought to adopt God's agenda. We continue here in chapter 12, verse 2 of Romans. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed by the renewing of our minds. To do what? To know the will of God. To know God's agenda. To be using, as I tell people, we need to stop using this, our own watch, and using God's watch. God's timing. God's timing is perfect. Even though it might hurt sometimes, His timing is very perfect. We also ought to pay whatever price is necessary for obedient service. I've failed many times in this area over my years. I imagine some of you have too. You can probably say that yourself. But fortunately, we are saved by grace. But yet, we remain obedient. Many people out here, they say, well, if you believe so much in being saved by grace, and the doctrine of grace, you believe that so much in the assurance of salvation, and what keeps you from sinning? I mean, if you're already assured, you got all that security, why don't you just go off and do whatever you want? And I tell them, it's because of that same grace I don't sin. Because of God's mighty hand upon my life. But it does require obedience. It does require us seeking and knowing and following what God says. James says, don't just listen to the word, but do what? Don't just be hearers, but do what it says. Do what it says. I remember when I served with the 75th Ranger Regiment, they were strict, very strict on obedience. Because if we were in combat, and the leader said, go left, you went left, you didn't ask questions. They said, you go right, you went right, you didn't ask questions. It's an amazing thing what obedience looked like in the military. And I counter that with what it looks like in the spiritual world as well, in the spiritual life. Living a life of obedience for God, sometimes it's not easy, but I guarantee you, brother and sister, when He says left, go left. When He says right, go right. Yeah. Seek what that perfect will of God is and do what He says. Not only are we to live sacrificially, but we also are to fight the fight successfully. Paul says here, I have fought a good fight. He has fought a good fight. The fight here refers to an intense struggle. The word fight is an intense struggle here. It pictures a contest where a person is spending a lot of energy, spending a lot of effort. Example of this is boxing. You ever watch boxing? That's an amazing thing to see. When I was a kid, I loved my Charlie Brown cartoons. I loved my little cartoons that come on at night. But oh, was I a sad kid when boxing was on and my dad had to watch it. We had those five channels, you know what I'm talking about, right? We had to turn the antenna just to get them. Some of y'all are laughing because you've been there. Yeah. But I watched boxing with my dad. I watched these guys go 12, maybe 15 rounds, pummeling each other. The stamina was incredible that they went through. Fighting and tearing at each other. A lot of effort, a lot of energy. Now, all believers walking with Christ are also engaged in a fight. But who or what are we fighting against? We've got to look at that. Who or what are we fighting against? We're fighting against Satan, that's for sure. Ephesians 6. Paul tells us in verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of who? Of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul sets out right here who our fight is against. Fight is against Satan himself. Fight is a fight of the spiritual sense. It's a spiritual battle that we are fighting in. So we're fighting against Satan. We're also fighting against the flesh. Romans 7. Here, Romans 7, verses. Got to find Romans 7 first. Romans 7, verses 15 to 19. Paul is writing here, and it's amazing how he writes this, and it's a passage that I can relate to so much, and I think you can too, as I read 15 through 19. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Here's where he talks about the flesh, or fighting with the flesh. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Paul is pouring his heart out here about his own struggle with flesh. How easy it is for us to relate to him with that, wouldn't you say? There's so many things with the flesh that we fight against on a daily basis. So many things that we fight against in the world, which is another thing that we are against. First John. Does love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We've got a big fight on our hands, folks. Fighting against Satan. We're fighting against the flesh. We're fighting against the world. As I mentioned at the beginning of this message, living the Christian life is not easy. Anybody that tells you that it is, they need to step back and look in a mirror. It is not easy, but it is one worth living. But if we're going to win this fight, if we're going to fight this fight, it's going to require a few things. It's going to require some exertion. It's going to require some exertion. Paul tells the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 29, whereunto I also labored, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. He's striving. He's exerting. He's putting forth that effort. Not laying aside on his loins, but putting forth that strong effort, exerting himself, giving his all. And through discipline also, Paul is exerting a lot of discipline to find a good fight, which we are too. I guess it relates a lot with obedience. There is a difference in discipline and obedience, but yet they are related similarly. But he tells the Corinthians in Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians, verses 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, but they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's talking about, as you see, a boxer shadow boxing. Hitting nothing. Throwing his fists around the air, but hitting nothing. He's not talking about that. He's talking about this. But I keep my body, I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It takes a lot of discipline to do that. It takes a lot of discipline to live this holy Christian life as holy as we can get. Peter says, be holy because I am holy. He's quoting God's own words. But it takes discipline to try, at least, to live a righteous life, to try to live a life according to God's pleasing and perfect will. It also takes vigilance. It takes exertion. It takes discipline. It takes vigilance to fight this fight. Back in Colossians again, chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and also watch in thanksgiving. We're to be vigilant. We're to be on the lookout at all times. The devil's out there. He's out there in the streets like a lion, right? Looking to see whom he can devour. But we're to be vigilant. We're to be vigilant and using God's power also. Not our own power, but God's power. So many times I've tried to do things on my own, under my own power. So many times I have failed. So many can relate to that, I know. You ever notice that, though? the more that we try, the more that we say, I can do it, the more we fail sometimes. It's like a little child. Any of us have children here. How many times when they're young, 2 or 3 years old, I can do it, I can do it. And what happens? Well, it didn't work out so well. But there's mom, there's dad, helping them along the way using their power. It's the same analogy. We might just say, I can do it, but our power, our source, though, comes from God. Paul tells the Colossians, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Strengthened with all might. Whose might? God's glorious power. And what do we receive from that? And what do we practice? Patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. Joyfulness, always. But in the fight, we need to be successful. We are also to run this race, though. As he says, back in verse 7, I have finished my course. I have finished my course. So we need to run this race with endurance. But in order to run the race, we need to get in the race. Ever thought about that? But he calls this, I have finished my course. He has run that course. He's run that race. But in order to start it, we've got to get in it. In order to finish it, we have to get in it. This life, there's a lot of competition. And I'm not talking about with one another during this course, during this race. I'm talking about we're competing, as I mentioned earlier, with Satan, with flesh, with the world. Sometimes we're competing with our own selves. Sometimes we get in our own way and trip ourselves up. But we've got to stay in shape spiritually. Got to stay in shape spiritually. Hit that spiritual gym, whatever it might look like for you. What is your spiritual gym? What does your spiritual workout look like? Think about that. What is going on in my life that is aiding me, that is helping me to become spiritually strong? Is it being in the Word? Is it being in the Word consistently? Is it being in the Word on a daily basis? Is it taking these 3x5 cards that I carry around with me and writing verses on them, memorizing verses to get me through the day, guarding the Lord's Word in my heart? What am I doing to remain spiritually strong? There's many ways to do that. Many ways to do that, but we must do it with much endurance. We do that with endurance so that we don't quit. No matter how painful it gets, we do not quit the course. We do not quit the race. I mentioned serving in the military. There was a time when we had to complete a 12-mile road march in under 3 hours. Might not sound too bad, but when you're wearing full uniform with boots, rifle, full rucksack on your back, all the water you can carry for 3 hours, you don't stop and get water. Whatever you're drinking as far as water, you're carrying it with you. And it's a hustle. It's a hustle to finish in 3 hours. Don't believe me? Go try. Go try it yourself. But there was one time, one of the many times I had to do that. And, of course, my feet were blistered up. I could feel them. They were on fire. I thought literally or figuratively, though, but it felt like they were on fire. So I finally got back to the barracks, limping back. Stole my gear. I'd already taken my rifle back. Stole my gear. Took off my pack. Finally eased off my boots. And what were normally my green socks looked dark brownish red. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that my feet had bled that much. But it was in my heart, though, to finish that race, to finish that course in under 3 hours. Now, I don't tell you that to just say, wow, listen to that story. I tell you that as an example. We don't quit. So many times we get setbacks. We can be our own negative downer. Debbie Downer, I guess you could say. I have a background in counseling also for the last almost 11 years. Had a background in counseling. And so many times I've heard people want to quit, want to give up, whether it's on themselves. We talk about self-talk. Self-talk is that thing where even I can get you through it. Tell yourself you can do it. Tell yourself you can go. But also that self-talk is that same voice saying, just go ahead and drop out. Just go ahead and quit. This isn't worth it. How many times do we hear that voice in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual course, telling ourselves, you know, this is not going to work out. But God has another plan for us. God is the one in control. Isn't that amazing? Creator of the universe. We walk outside. Well, I was going to say, see the beautiful sun. It's a little cloudy now. But when we do see any kind of weather, we know that God's in charge. That same God that created the universe, the same Heavenly Father that raised Christ from the dead, is the same one that works in each and every one of our lives. When we quit, we don't quit, no matter how painful it gets. We also get back up when we fall down. You ever notice that back with the boxers? They get knocked down, they get back up. They get knocked down, they get back up. Sometimes it's not as much as what you're doing as far as swinging, but also what you can take. I don't mean to talk about boxers so much, but it just occurred to me that when boxers train, they don't train so much or all the time, rather, on how to hit. You know, you see them on the speed bag, you see them on the puncher bag, you see them sparring. You think, wow, they spend every single day learning how to hit. That's not correct. They spend every day also learning how to get hit. They learn how to take those punches. They learn how to get knocked down and get back up. What a wonderful analogy that is when it comes to our spiritual life. We live in a life of getting knocked down plenty. But oh, we, under God's power, so much better, knowing through fervent prayer, seeking His face, reaching out to Him, calling out to Him, as Jacob said in Genesis 32, I will not let you go until you bless me. We reach out, we call out to God. Paul here also gives us a good example in verse 8. We keep God's word faithfully. Getting ahead of myself. Give me talking about boxing, I just get fired up, so I'm sorry about that. I have kept the faith, he says. The word faith here, he's kept the faith. He's kept the scriptures. He's kept God's word. The word, the faith that is revealed in the scriptures, he's kept that. How do we keep the faith, or how do we keep the word faithfully? How do we keep God's word faithfully? You want to talk about a spiritual gym, a spiritual workout? Here's one way. We know the word of God. We know the word of God. Unfortunately, back in my days of counseling, I was told biblical counseling. I preferred that method, even though I've been training others. There's only one way to counsel, and that's through the Bible, I believe. But I've told some people, you need to open it. Knock off the dust. Open that Bible up. Get into God's Word. Get into the sword of the Spirit. You ever notice that in the armor of God? That's the only offensive weapon listed. We've got the shield, we've got the helmet. Girded loins. But the only offensive weapon is God's Word, the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, right? We know the Word of God. We sharpen our sword daily. We also defend the Word of God. We defend the Word of God. One of my favorite verses. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to know God's Word. Know it by learning to divide it, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Some say, well, only preachers should do that. Only preachers should know how to just pick that thing apart and throw it out there and feed the sheep. Not necessarily only preachers. Study to show thyself approved, workman. Study God's Word. Rightly divide it. Rightly understand it. What is this saying? What is God saying here? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Sharing the word of God. You want to get strong in word, God's word. Share it with others. Again, I mentioned the little 3x5 cards I carry around with me. Have some verses there. You're at work. You're at a family gathering. Many of us were at Thanksgiving gatherings. You got a co-worker. You got a friend. You got a relative. Might be struggling with a certain sin. Might be struggling with a certain setback. Whether it be financial, relational, spiritual. God's Word speaks to so many of our trials and tribulations. But share His Word with others. Be that encouragement. Be that light. Be that light. Be that salt of the earth. Be that city on the hill. We also live out the Word of God. We live it out. We don't just know it. Don't just read it. We just don't share it. But we have to live it. At the church that my family and I used to attend before coming over to Grace Primitive Baptist Church, there was a gentleman who was well known in the that particular Baptist Association. We were talking one day, and he held up his Bible. He said, "Stephen, what is this?" He said, "I know it's the Bible, but what is this?" And I looked at him. I said, "Brother, that is life." That was all I told him. I said, "That is life." He was stunned by it. That short, simple answer. But the Word of God is life. Paul says also here, finally verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not only me, but unto all them that also love his appearing. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus, righteous judge, shall give me on that day." He's focused on the finish line. Paul is focused on the finish line. There's a gentleman still alive today. I think he's about 72. His name is John the Penguin Bingham. He's famous in the running circles, a marathon runner. I still think in the 70s he still runs marathons. And back when he was younger and he was winning all these marathons, he was asked, "John, what is your secret? What is your secret?" And he gave him a small yet effective quotation. He said, "As I stand there at the starting line, I know that somewhere out there is the finish line." Our finish line is Jesus Christ Himself. We're temporary citizens of this world, that's for sure. Our citizenship is in heaven. But we run this race in order to get to the finish line. Paul says he gets that crown of righteousness from who? From seeing Jesus face to face. Receives that. That is our finish line. It's all about Christ. It's all about Him. Paul knew what the finish line was, and so must we. He knew what the finish line was in his day, and so must we. So let's run the race. Let's run that race this week. Let's finish well, like the Apostle Paul. Thank you for your continued prayers, and thank you for your kind attention.